Welcome, everyone, to another enlightening episode of Content Intel. I am your host, Laura Dolan, Senior Content Marketing Manager here at Optimizely. Today, I am joined by Dean Barker, our Senior Director of Content Management Strategy here at Optimizely as well, and Corey Vilhauer, who's the Director of Strategy with Blend Interactive. How's it going today, you guys?
Great.
Good.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
I'm ready to be enlightening.
Yeah. You really set us up there. It's a promise we have to fulfill now.
Yes, yes, you do. No pressure. Oh, well, thank you for taking the time to be here today. And today we are going to talk about all things content management systems. Dean, you are the mastermind behind CMSs. I've seen some of your brilliant webinars. You guys just released a book about CMSs. So let's go ahead and dive right in, talk about the book, what it's called, what readers can expect. Gentlemen, you have the floor.
Yeah, so the book is called The Web Project Guide. And we started this book, Corey, 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago.
We did. The book got its start in the parking lot of the Cheesecake Factory in Omaha, Nebraska. My daughters were both playing club volleyball. And I think we were coming back from Kansas City from a volleyball tournament. And I had just been thinking, I think a lot when I drive, and I had been thinking all the way from Kansas City back to Omaha, which is about 2 hours. About the different processes that we went through at Blend Interactive, which was a company that I founded and worked at the time, all the different things that we did to deliver a content website. And I thought, you know what, I should write these down, because we would get calls from people all the time that would say, hey, can you explain the process to me? And I don't want to say I got sick of explaining the process, but I thought, you know what, maybe I could write this down once. And so I started writing down all the different phases we went through, and I eventually put them in a Google Doc. And I expanded that a bit. I put two or three sentences under each one, and then I sent it to Corey. And Corey did the content strategy at Blend. And Corey took a look at it, and he eventually turned that into a marketing piece that we used at Blend. We kind of branded it and turned it into a PDF, which kind of explained how we delivered projects. Blend Interactive had been doing content management for 15 years by that point. So we did have a process, and we had a lot of experience in that space. And so Corey put together this really nice marketing piece. And then in 2018, I was traveling to Europe a lot, like 7 times. And I had a lot of downtime while traveling. And I thought, you know what, let me flesh one of these out and see if I can make it into like a blog post. Maybe we do a blog post series or something. And so I expanded it, and I got one of these out to like 2,000-3,000 words. And I thought, well, that kind of looks like the chapter of a book. And so then I did another one. And then I thought, okay, we could do something here. And so I pulled Corey into my office when I was back in the States. And I said, half of this book deals with all the things before you implement a content management system. And I'm terrible at that stuff. And that's your stuff. So would you like to write this with me? And Corey, why don't you take it from there, buddy?
Then I did. Then 3 years later, we finally did something. Yeah, it was interesting. I really sort of loved the idea of it, because I think what we run into, specifically like on that side where you're working with clients, and you're sort of at a point in which you need to not just do things for them, but also sort of help them understand what they need to do. We can continue to run into the same questions over and over again of, we're going to do this, how it's going to be used. We've put together the sitemap, now what comes next? And this book was a really cool way to be able to actually say those things in a way that we thought really would help our clients. And then again, like Dean said, it turned into a gigantic book. And by gigantic, I mean, it was, before editing, it probably would have been 500 pages long.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And it's not a big surprise, but there's a lot of things that go into making a website. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot of phases, a lot of moving parts.
You say that as if this is super surprising. Well, there's a lot of things. It is true, though. I mean, once we actually wrote stuff out, we realized, with any process that you've done a ton of times, like there's a lot of tacit knowledge, just things you do. And you realize when you actually have to sit down and write that out, man, there's a lot going on there. Oh, and it's also worth mentioning that the original plan was that each chapter was going to take 10 minutes to read. That was the plan. And that, so the idea was that over the course of a month, you could read one chapter a day in like 10 minutes. And then at the end of the month, be educated and ready to start your project. And I came up with 3,500 words because I looked up in the parking lot of the Cheesecake Factory that a college educated person could read about 350 words a minute. And so it was supposed to be, but yeah, we just blew through that in a heartbeat. And I think one of the chapters there was like 7,000 words. So yeah, we totally abandoned that. That was the idea though. And it turns out that both Corey and I are loquacious when allowed. And so it turned into the final book is 440 pages. It's healthy enough to be used for self-defense if you should so need that.
That's good to know. It'll come in handy for that, if nothing else. Right. It's crazy when you do get into projects like this, and it's amazing when you factor in muscle memory and then you start to write something down, you realize, wait, there are way more steps to this than I thought. And, you know, was it kind of something like that where you realize like there are just way more steps involved than you imagined?
I'll say this. It's funny when you talk about muscle memory and sort of how we, as the people who are writing this, have been through projects like this before. And so even though we do this all the time, we still forget all the different things. And, you know, we're trying to capture all the different edge cases and trying to make sure that we're touching on all of the things somebody might encounter when they come through a project. But in doing that, it also sort of helped identify one of the really key parts of why the book is really important. And that's that, like, Dean and I know these things really well, and we still kind of struggle to piece them together. Dean's the technical person. I'm the person who works with the clients at the start. There's a language barrier just between the two of us, but ultimately it's like if you go into a mechanic and you sort of know what's wrong with the car and they know exactly what's wrong with the car, and you're kind of afraid to tell them. You're like, well, I think it's this, but you're putting a lot on the table because they literally could go do anything in there, come back and be like, there, it's fixed.
Right.
And part of that anxiety and part of that fear in there is that you don't understand the language or understand the process that mechanic's going through to make those things work. So the hope was that a book like this can sort of bridge that, so you can feel confident in the decisions you're making, so that those, you know, people who don't have that muscle memory are able to at least understand what's happening when we go behind, you know, closed doors and start fiddling with the website.
The other thing that I struggled with personally was just the predicate knowledge. I mean, we explain something, but to explain point E, you have to explain point D, and to explain that, you have to explain point C, and like, how far back do you go? At what point do you think, okay, well, you have to know this. These are just table stakes. And we had to kind of balance that. I don't know how well we did, but we assume that a person reading this book understands what a website is, and they have a basic understanding of web and web technologies from a user standpoint. Like, they've used the internet. That was all we really did.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, like, who your targeted audience was. Is this someone who has to have prior knowledge of website development, or is it more for a novice? It sounds like it's a little bit more of an expert level, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't think
so. I would say maybe it's probably project somebody managers, who,
right?
Yeah, project managers, marketing directors of marketing, people who understand like why you need a website and the purpose behind it and stuff like that, but they need to know, you know, who do I hire?
Yeah.
To do this type of thing. Who do I need to have on my internal team who understands this? What choices do I need to make when I'm looking at, you know, for instance, selecting a content management system? There are a lot of things there where, even though they may be really skilled in their specific discipline, and they might have even experience writing web content or experience interviewing users, there's a lot there. And if you just go into it thinking like, cool, we're just going to go build a website, and there's like three steps, it's really helpful to see that there's, you know, at least 24 chapters worth of steps.
Well, and what we pointed out in the introduction was like, this is the entire process from start to finish. Like, if you were going to do everything, every process is different. And there's some things you don't need. If you just want to replatform an existing website, well, you can probably skip a bunch of the content strategy stuff because you already know what your content is. You know, if you're going to stay on the same CMS, then you can skip the strategy or the chapter on CMS selection. You have to make the process your own, and the steps that somebody goes through and not the steps somebody else will go through. The other problem we had was putting them in order, because the fact is these steps aren't serial.
Right.
They overlap and they kind of weave in and out of each other. And what we did at the end of every chapter, we have this little sections at the end of every chapter. And one of them is, this is where this chapter fits in the big picture. You might do it here. You absolutely have to have these things done. You might do it here. And then we have another section at the end of every chapter called inputs and outputs, which says, these are the things that you have to bring into this part of the process. And then these are the things you're going to take out of this part of the process. So we hope that helps put it in perspective for people, but the idea mm-hmm. that this is like a waterfall, do step one, then do step two, then do step three, it's not that at all.
I want to back up to the night in the Cheesecake Factory parking lot, Dean, when you talked about you were kind of going through the questions that people had. Can you define some of those concerns that people had? Like, what was it that actually motivated you to write the steps down and maybe come up with an SOP, and then that kind of developed into a book? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, the thing that caused me to write the steps down was just that I had to keep explaining this thing over and over and over again. And as in explaining this over and over and over again to people, I realized how much I knew and just assumed that other people knew. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, like, if I just assume nothing, like, these are all the steps that we explain to somebody to go through. And the idea is we would get people that would say, you know, with an RFP, explain your process to us. Well, I mean, you can only write that down so many times before it gets repetitive. So I thought, let's just kind of write this down one time. I will say freely, at the time, I was a partner at Blend Interactive, and Blend is a professional services company that does content management implementations. And this was meant to be a sales piece. This was a marketing piece. But that was the point. The point was to get over people's fears of the unknown mm-hmm. and not understanding what the product looked like. And then somewhere it magically became a book because I had a lot of time on my hands while I was traveling. And I started writing. And then I thought, you know, and Corey and I have been friends for 13, 14 years. And honestly, I want to write a book with Corey. Corey and I are both writers. We generate a lot of content. And I kind of thought it'd be fun. I don't know if it turned out to be fun. Corey may have a different opinion than me. But I thought, you know what, it would be great to write a book with Corey. And that's exactly what we did.
Corey, was it fun?
It was long. It was long. It was fun. You know, I have a lot of pride for the book. I think it's a really cool idea. The thing that I think we were both really surprised by is that there isn't anything else like it out there.
Yeah.
The issue with the web industry, whether it's on the development side or whether it's on the content and people side, is that there are a lot of books that focus really deeply on one topic. You know, if you want to learn about the concepts and practice of information architecture, there's dozens of books and they're all just as long as this one. Mm-hmm. But there was never anything out there that provided a level of context that, like, said, in order to do this, you might need this over here, and gave you the high level view enough to be able to, you know, like we said before, make good decisions, but not so deep as to, like, say, okay, well, now you Google create your sitemap and this is how to do it. And we didn't want to do that. You know, we are, I think if there's anything I've learned out of this assignment, I really appreciate the idea of context, but there's no way I'm ever going to be able to, like, write a book about information architecture as good as you know, Morville and Rosenfeld did. I'm not going to, you know, write a content strategy book and try to, like, say this is better than the one Christina Halvorsen wrote. We're not going to do that. That's just not what it is. It ended up being really long for that reason. And that's okay. Long in a really good way. It's a great resource. Dean ended up writing two books while we wrote this book.
I did too.
He started off overachiever,
publisher of one. And at the end, he was a publisher of three.
But in the process of doing this, I wrote two additional books. I think while Corey was writing his part, I wrote two other books. So yeah, by the time this came out, I've now written four books.
Were you guys self-published or did you go through a publisher?
We went
kind of. It depends how you look
yeah.
at it.
It's so weird. The publishing system these days is just weird.
Is it?
We went through a publisher called Story Chorus. Is that right?
Story Chorus.
Corey? And it's odd. The pulp public. This the other thing I struggled with this book, and Corey will probably back me up on this, is I struggle with the ideas, is a book the right way to convey information these days? You know, in this kind mm-hmm. of age, we look into people sit down, are they going to sit down and read a 400-page book? Right. And so I don't look at it as a 400-page book. I look at it as its initial communication mechanism was a 400-page book. But the fact is we have 164,000 words of content that will likely get very mashed up and disseminate. There's a website for it. You can go out and read on a website if you want to do that. And then Corey and I are hopefully going to do a podcast in the future and turn it into other content artifacts. The book is maybe just the first part of it. But to go back to what Corey was saying about how there's nothing like it, the whole time we were writing this, I kept saying to myself, we can't be the first people to do this. And then I kept thinking, I can't find anything else that kind of fits this. So I don't know if we were the first people to do it, but yeah, weirdly, it just filled a niche that hadn't been filled yet.
So the gist of it is basically how to develop a CMS and go through the steps. Is that kind of the layman's terms summary of it?
Or I'm going to give you a pass for not having read it. But literally, Corey, I see we're doing this for audio, but I actually have Corey on camera. And Corey, behind you, you have multiple copies of the book. Why don't you pull that out? And why don't you read a representative sample of chapter titles? Start with the first, end with the last, and read a few in between.
Yeah, I can say from the start that this much of it, this small amount right here, is all that's about actual development. This is from host to launch.
For those of you who are not on camera, that was about an inch wide.
That was about 25% of the book.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have it essentially, it's broken up into six sections. There's a planning section, which is around like understanding scope, understanding expectations, really like the opening thing, the idea of like, we need a website. Who do we even need to have in the room and what is it going to be? Then it goes into discovery. So it's interviewing, understanding audiences, knowing what content you currently have, like inventories and stuff like that. The third section is what we call strategic design. It's content strategy, it's information architecture, it's actual graphic design. There's a section, three chapters just on system requirements, which is really around sort of what integrations are going to be. And I guess that technically would be sort of on the development side, but it's integrations, requirements, it's selecting a content management system. And then there's five chapters about development. So, and that includes hosting and that includes migrating. And then it's launch and beyond, which is testing, planning for post-launch operations, and then sort of ongoing maintenance of it. So it's like what I've said about it is that it's not going to teach you how to make a website, but it's going to teach you how a website is made. So it gives you enough, you know, like I said, you can't pick this up and have a website by the end of it, but you'll know the people you need to bring in or the resources you need to reach out to in order to get those next steps done.
We're trying to make the unknowns known. You know, I always go back to Donald Rumsfeld's quote that there are known unknowns and unknown unknown. A known unknown is the thing you know that you don't know. An unknown unknown is the thing you don't know you don't know. And when you start this process, everything is an unknown unknown. You don't even know what you don't know. At the end of this book, you will have a bunch of known unknowns. Some things will have been resolved and become known to you, but you will also think, holy cow, I'm not good at this. I need to get someone to do this. These are all the different problems that I will encounter. The other thing that we actually brought to bear quite a bit in the book, especially in the early chapters, is that Corey and I, we did professional services together for 12 years. And when you work in services, you end up doing a lot of like social psychological therapy with your customers. Mm-hmm. You work with a lot of customers and you come to realize that their problems are not technical. The problems are organizational and also psychological. A lot of company dysfunction. You walk in a lot of organizations that are just not running well from a human perspective. And we touch on some of that in the book. I mean, this is how you drill through kind of human issues. I mean, the first chapter of the book is, you know, why do you want to do this? Do you have everybody on the same page? What are your basic goals for this? Mm-hmm. And how can you make sure your organization is going to self-destruct halfway through it? I mean, we have a sidebar in there about cognitive fallacies and how they different apply to these projects. An enormous amount of what Corey does and what I did in the services world is just helping organizations and people get out of their own way.
As someone who works in a CMS every single day, I won't name which one, but I am a content manager. So I do manage content in a CMS. I've been doing that for years in many different types of platforms. Does someone like myself benefit from reading this book? And how may I obtain a copy?
Well, Corey's got six of them sitting on the shelf behind him.
So. Nice.
These are all claimed. One's for my grandma, one's for my mom, and one's for my dad. These are all the family copies I stole.
I figured that those were spoken for already. So
I always fall back to what they call T-shaped skills, right? If you look at all the different things that you need to do in your job, you can be very shallow understanding a little bit about all of them, or you could go really, really deep on multiple skills. And there's quite a bit of writing and quite a bit of research in the idea that the ideal thing is to have T-shaped skills, which is mean go superficial, shallow on everything, get a broad overview of everything, but then pick one and go very, very deep on that. And Laura, it sounds like you go very, very deep on content creation, editorial workflow, and things like that.
I do. But I mean, I have HTML background, so I can even, you know, apply that. So
would there be huge value in you understanding the rest of the process from start to finish? Absolutely. My son is 26 years old and he just entered the working world 3-4 years ago. And I told him, I said, even beyond your job description and what you are supposed to do at a company, learn as much as you can about every different part of the company, because mm-hmm. that will benefit you over the long run. I watched a great documentary about Enron, the Enron scandal. It was called The Smartest Guys in the Room. And I said, one of the reasons why Enron failed is nobody actually knew how the company made money. Everyone just did their kind of job and they assumed it was a viable business behind the company, but it turns out there wasn't. Like everyone just was in a little silo and assumed somebody else was making money. And I feel like when you look at any process or any job or any professional responsibility, learn as much as you can about the process from start to finish and go very, very deep on your particular skill set. So long story short, yes, I think you would absolutely get value for it. And Corey can get you a copy.
That well, also, great. if you'd like to order one for anyone else who's listening,
yes.
You won't get a free one. It's at order.webproject.guide. So the site we secured, first of all, apparently they have .guide domains, which is very fun. But we moved the site over to webproject.guide. And so that's where you can see the full book. That's where the podcast will be hosted. When it finally gets started, I do have a to-do on my list today to schedule a time with Dean to record the first one. It's
order.webproject.guide. Order.webproject.guide.
Yep. And it's also on Amazon.
If you Amazon. Just okay. Give us the title one more time.
It's The Web Project Guide. Yep. And you can search that, or you can search Corey Vilhauer. You can search Dean Barker. It pops up for both.
The Web Project Guide from Spark to Launch and Beyond. And the Spark to Launch and Beyond. Oh, I do want to call out a guy by the name of Sam Otis that we really have to talk about here, because Sam Otis is the senior designer at Blend Interactive. And I will say this, Sam Otis is the most talented artist and designer I've ever worked with, ever, anywhere. And we were coming up with a theme, and we came up with a theme of rocket ships and exploration. And that's why From Spark to Launch and Beyond is the subtitle. And one of the things that's great about this book is that it's in color, first of all, and all of the artwork, including the cover artwork, the back artwork, and all of the chapter headers are original artwork by Sam Otis. And nice. He is just a shockingly good artist. And this is one of the best looking books you're going to find. He even did little caricatures of us for the sidebars. Like every sidebar has a little head caricature of us at the bottom based on who's speaking in the sidebar. And I just want to make sure that Sam gets recognition for this, because he did such an amazing job on it.
Of course. I love that. Sounds like he brought a lot of personality to the book. How did you get him involved? Did you tell him about it from the get-go, or did you kind of recruit
we
halfway through?
Him. Yeah. He's the senior designer at Blend, and I was a partner at Blend at the time. So I said, hey, Sam, you're going to do this. And the fact is Sam is a digital designer, clearly, but he had a background in print. And Sam is probably listening to this, and I don't know if he'll disagree with the statement, but I think that Sam misses print to some extent. And he does beautiful print work. He's one of the greatest freehand artists. He can just sit down like on a piece of paper and draw. And I think he misses print. This was an opportunity for him to design a book from start to finish. And I thought it would be a great project for him. And he just did an incredible job. A physical thing that doesn't move or change. Yeah. There's no browser incompatibilities with print.
So. No, it's absolutely true. I'm still in the camp of I love turning pages. I don't like to just swipe screens. I like to actually hold a book, smell a book, just the whole physical experience with a book. So I'm glad you're keeping that alive.
There's value there for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to talk about before we wrap up?
All I'll say is that if you have enjoyed listening to us talk, you will get a chance to listen to us talk again, because as Corey indicated, we are going to do a chapter by chapter podcast of the book.
Nice.
We're not going to read the entire chapter. We're just going to randomly talk about stuff. And so if you go to webproject.guide, I believe that you can sign up for the mailing list there, and we will let you know when that podcast is available.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well,
go buy the book.
Yes. Go buy the book, you guys.
What I'm supposed to say? I did it. I podcasted.
Awesome. Well, Dean Barker, Corey Vilhauer, thank you guys so much for being here today. Thank you for those of you who have tuned in to this episode of Content Intel. I am Laura Dolan, and I will see you all next time.